All right, so we're going to spend some time in God's Word, which is always a great thing to do. And we're going to start in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Book of Proverbs. Chapter 17. Is that Aaron over there?
Sorry,
it doesn't bother me. So, have you ever heard anyone say, I know I have a lot of times, maybe a bad influence, the statement, all I want is some peace and quiet.
Yeah,
you might have even said it yourself a few times in your life. All I want is some peace and quiet. And it's a popular yearning to have. And the reason why people say that or yearn for it is because they don't have it at the moment, but they want it. And so I'd like to share a little bit today about peace and quietness and what God's Word says about it. And in Proverbs chapter 17, very interesting verse concerning it, about quietness. Verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel, which is something that's probably not too good, you know, but it's food. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. And the word sacrifices, many of the translations have it as feasting. You know, it's better than a house full of feasting with strife. So a little dry, you know, an old crusty piece of bread is better when it's enjoyed with quietness than all the food you can eat. Now, this might be a little difficult for me to take in, but I'm willing. I'd like to have half of the top and half of the bottom. Guess which half's But, you know, it's true. I mean, if you're living with a lot of strife or you're around a lot of strife, it gets you to a point where you just say, I want some peace and quiet. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. God is interested in us having peace in our lives, and He is interested in us having some quietness in our lives. Not all stirred up. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, so familiar to us. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that, reason being, we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness. A quiet, peaceable life in all godliness. He's definitely interested in us having that, that we have peace in our lives. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 32. We're going to hop around the Old Testament a little bit for a while. Chapter 32. God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have a quietness on the inside. The quietness is sort of like a tranquility and being settled on the inside. It's not just exterior quietness, but it's something on the inside also where you're just thankful, blessed, you're settled on the inside. It's a nice place to be. When we've been there, and we are there almost all the time, it's nice. And when we're not there, it's like, I want to get back there. You know, it's unsettling to be unsettled. So. Chapter 32, this is a promise for a future day for Israel. He was going to do some things, and then here was part of the result. Chapter 32, verse 17, and it says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. There's a lot in that verse. The work of righteousness. The word work E.W. Bullinger has it as tillage. It's actually the word for meaning of an action being taken, an event. Like if you till the ground, there's going to be a result. And you could also translate it as, and a lot of the translators do different translations, as the word effect. The effect of righteousness shall be peace. And the word peace is that famous word shalom. You know, you see it on some of the Judean door entries, and it's got the Hebrew word for shalom. You enter into the house with peace. It's basically a state of rest or being tranquil or quiet. It also has the essence in the Hebrew of completeness or soundness, good welfare. When things are at peace in your life, things are well. It's the basic essence of it. So I thought you keep your finger here if you want. We're just going to roll through some scriptures. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 26 and just take a look at some of the other verses that use that same word, shalom, concerning peace. Chapter 26 and in verse 29. Chapter 26, verse 29. That thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. They were sent away with peace. They weren't all beat up, messed up, unsettled. They were sent away in peace. Chapter 26, verse 31. And they rose up betimes in the morning, and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Again, in a good way, a good situation. Chapter 28, verse 21. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Chapter 37. All I want for Christmas is peace and quiet. Chapter 37, verse 4. And when his brethren, John went over a little bit of this last week about Joseph, circumstances with his life and how God did take care of Joseph. May not have looked like it at the moment, but he did certainly have his hand on that man's life. And verse 4, and when his brethren, these are those wonderful children of Israel, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Oh, just a wonderful thing. And could not speak peaceably unto him. So once they realized it, what they did speaking wise to him no longer was a wonderful, quiet, settled, tranquil means. It was always agitation, always strife, always something else. Not a good spot to be in. Chapter 37, verse 14. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether he be, now this is the father talking to Joseph to go see how his brethren are doing. Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with my brethren and well with thy flock, the flocks, and bring me word again. So he went, he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And that word peace isn't in there, is it?
It could be the word well.
Yeah, it is the word well. Sorry. That was one of the things from the show that's not always translated peace. That it be well with the flocks. And that's why some of the part of the translation of peace is that it's soundness or good welfare. That it may be well with them or is it well with them. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Thanks, John. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 18. And John covered this last week, too. I think that's funny. You know, sometimes that's just the way it is, you know. Chapter 4, verse 18. And Moses went out and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. Chapter 18, same book, Exodus 18. Verse 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance. John covered this verse once. And kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare. And that's the word for peace. You know, how are they doing? And they came into the tent. How are you guys doing? How are each one of them doing? Same chapter, verse 23. If thou shalt do this thing, and God commanded thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their tent in peace. And lastly, Leviticus chapter 26. There are a lot of verses on the word peace, as you know. These just show the essence, you know, and it says the work of righteousness, the effect of righteousness is peace. It's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. Chapter 26, verse 6. And I will give thee, peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Again, the work of righteousness, the result of righteousness, or the effect. Part of that effect is peace. Let's go to... back to Isaiah chapter, but we're going to go to 57 this time. We're eventually getting back to 32. Chapter 57. The opposite of this, of the work of righteousness, of the effect of righteousness, we're going to just look at the opposite. Chapter 57, verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's the other side of it. There's the effect of unrighteousness. You know, people who reject God, reject His word, they're like waters all stirred up. Anybody like to be all stirred up and just uncomfortable and not feeling good? Your panties are all in a bunch and all that stuff. You know, whatever it is, that communicates to you. Just it's not a comfortable way of living. And God offers that nice restfulness, that peace, and He also says, hey, there's the other stuff available. An unquiet sea. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 32. Get your finger back. Verse 17 again. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Let's go to Joshua chapter 11. I'm just going to look at a couple of quick examples of this, of quietness. Joshua chapter 11. And in verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. And it's the same word as quietness in Isaiah 32. It rested from war. There was a quietness, a rest on the land. Calm seas. Chapter 14, verse 15. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Rabba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakins. Anakins were these real big guys. And the land had rest from war. Again, it was that rest. Now think of your own, you know, self, you know. When life, when we're walking with God, there is a quietness on the inside. And it is restful, and it is nice. And when we're all stirred up, it's usually because we're not really where we should be in our lives. Let's go to Judges chapter 3, right after Joshua. Here come the judge, chapter 3, verse 11. And the land had rest 40 years because of the work of righteousness by a judge and the believing of those people at that time. Chapter 8, verse 28. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. Again, that work of righteousness yielded a quietness in a physical realm for that country, where the Midianites, because the Midianites had, you know, with the Gideon and all that, they came in and devastated Israel. And then they got delivered, and after that, it was calm seas for 40 years while Gideon was alive and, you know, walking with those people. Back to Isaiah 32. Hope you have a good finger. Isaiah chapter 32. And the throw-in, you know, people yearn for peace and quiet. Well, God adds, he throws an extra in there. The lucky strike extra. Chapter 7, 32, verse 17 again. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And the word assurance means, the essence of it is a security or a safety. It stated that a proper way of defining it would be a place of refuge. It's a place where you go where there's no fear of you're getting apprehended, no danger on your life, and that's what that assurance means. So the effect of righteousness, your life is protected by God Almighty. On top of just having, you know, some peace and quiet in your life, you're protected. You're in a safe zone, so to speak. Your life is well taken care of by God Almighty. That's a good thing. The effect of righteousness is pretty cool. We're just going to look at one scripture there, Deuteronomy chapter 12. I'm sure it's the same in your own thinking and life, but the longer I've been in the Word, the more thankful I am for what God has done for my life and for God's people. And, you know, when I was 19, 18 years old, I kind of just took it for granted, you know, things are going good. Enjoying what God's Word said and just happy and blessed. But, you know, the longer I've lived, the more I've seen how so many people are so beat up that it's like, wow. Thankful I know God. But, you know, some of these things are just basic stuff that it's all part of living life, that without having them, it's, life is not good. I said Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety." And there's the word assurance, the word safety there is assurance. So you're going to get that rest and you're going to get that safety. He will take care of you. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. So these are some of the effects of God's righteousness to mankind. What a wonderful three things they are. And God offers righteousness today to mankind. And we all tapped in, have tapped in and continue to tap into that righteousness that God has made available. One of the most popular verses in our understanding of God's Word, chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have the righteousness of God already, you know. We can have the effect of righteousness in our lives, that peace and quiet. You know, so if you ever hear yourself or hear somebody else say, I just want some peace and quiet, are you born again? you can have that peace and quiet. It doesn't have to just be a yearning. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have God's peace. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that peace. It's available to us. It's part of the righteousness, part of the effect of righteousness. We have God's peace. It's nice. One of the reasons why there is so much anguish is because, as we know, man's sin nature. Thanks to Adam. He's going to be a popular guy in the future. You know, we won't be so angry at him. He'll just blend in and be just as blessed as everybody else. I tell you, that's God's grace and mercy. But his work of unrighteousness, Adam's, yielded man in a bad spot, as we know. And Romans describes the wonderfulness of what man feels like. We're just going to take a quick look at it. Chapter 3 of Romans. What man feels like without being born again and enjoying the fruits of righteousness. Chapter 3, verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That's quite a mind picture. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Can't wait to have this. Verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear or awe of God before their eyes. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's really something. And that's where we were before we got born again. And lastly, we're going to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So we are righteous because of what Jesus Christ made available. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We are given righteousness. We become his son. And it's because of Jesus Christ's work that all this is available to us. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 12. It says that at that time, referring to being before they were born again, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That would allow somebody to be yearning for peace and quiet. I mean, it's a bad spot to be in. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far away out there, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Wonderful description of what God has given us. A lot better than manifesting Romans chapter 3. quite a contrast. So, we just have the great privilege to enjoy the effects of righteousness that God has made available. We can live with a peace in our lives, a quietness, an
acquiescent.
Okay? And that assurance or that great protection. We're in a good spot. We can live in a place of refuge that God has made available to us. And why all the earth doesn't accept that blows my mind. Mm-hmm. But it's their choice. But we're endeavoring to help people to change their thinking. Some people need a little more encouragement. Come on, take this good stuff. It's really nice for you. But there is a devil, and he keeps working and promoting his stuff. But we just keep speaking the word, because we don't want to hog all this. You know, there's plenty to go around. God's got an unlimited supply of giving out righteousness. Yeah. Like Santa Claus. How's he get all those toys? He's got an unlimited supply. So, but anyway, just a wonderful thing we have available to us. So if we ever get to a point where we, in our thinking, say, I just want, stop yourself before you say it. You already have it. Oh, wonderful.